How can I serve God when my heart is so selfish? That's just one of the questions we'll be answering on today's edition of Core Christianity. Hi, this is Bill Meyer, along with Pastor Adriel Sanchez, and this is the radio program where we answer your questions about the Bible and the Christian life every day. You can call us right now with your question at 833-THE-CORE. That's 1-833-843-2673. And you can email us with your questions at questions@corechristianity.com. First up today, we have a good news story to share with you. It's about a little boy in St. Louis who set up a lemonade stand to raise money to help a wounded firefighter. A few weeks ago, volunteer firefighter Arlydia Buford was shot while dining with her colleagues at a neighborhood Applebee's. The gunman was captured, but Arlydia was severely wounded. The local community has rallied behind her, raising funds to help her cover her major medical expenses. Five-year-old Cooper Wellweber set up a lemonade stand to raise money for the firefighter, and in one day, he raised $3,000. Cooper, with the help from his big sister, set up shop in front of an elementary school near his home. Word got out, and he sold tons of lemonade and got some big donations as well. Isn't that beautiful?
That is so awesome, Bill. I mean, what a wonderful story. And I just want to take a minute to pray for our Lydia right now. Lord, we pray for this firefighter, and we ask, Lord, for her continued recovery. God, would you please bring healing in her life? And God, if she doesn't know you, would you, through these circumstances, reveal yourself to her? Bless her, Lord. So thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, Adriel, let's get to our first question of the day. Ryan called us at 833-THE-CORE from Omaha, Nebraska.
I was just calling about John 5:18, when Jesus is calling God his father. I was just curious if this idea of a father was something that was new to the Jews, or is it an idea that they had in the Old Testament? So that's my question. Thank you guys so much. Have a good one.
Hey, yeah, thanks. So John chapter 5, verse 18. This was why the Jews were seeking all the more to kill Jesus, because not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own father, making himself equal with God. But there was something distinct and unique about the way in which Jesus referred to God as his father, but it wasn't entirely foreign to the Jews in that day. There was a German theologian named Joachim Jeremias. He wrote a book on the Lord's Prayer, and one of the things he suggested was that this idea of God as father really was unique and not something that was typical of the Jews living in Jesus's day to address God in that way, or the people leading up to that point. But you do find this idea throughout the Old Testament. In the book of Deuteronomy, for example, in Deuteronomy 32, verse 6, "Do you thus repay the Lord, you foolish and senseless people? Is not he your father who created you, who made you and established you?" Or in the prophets, for example, Isaiah chapter 63, verse 16, "For you are our father. Though Abraham does not know us and Israel does not acknowledge us, you, O Lord, are our Father, our Redeemer from of old is your name." I think also of the Davidic covenant in 2 Samuel chapter 7. God said that he was going to be a father to David and to his seed after him, that he was going to protect him and care for him. But there was something unique about the way that Jesus addressed the Father. You see, I think among the Jews, you did have this idea in prayer of corporately talking about God as the father of his people, the father of Israel, but Jesus makes it so personal. God is my father, Abba Father. You think about how Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. And Paul says in Romans chapter 8 that the Spirit of Christ is in us crying out, Abba Father. I think there was a level of intimacy that Jesus had when he used this kind of language that was really different for the Jews. And I think that one of the things that it points out to us is that closeness that God wants to have with his people. Do you have that kind of intimacy with God where you can say, God, you're my father, Abba, Father. That's what Jesus gives us through adoption by faith in Jesus Christ. We're adopted into the family of God so that Jesus, who is the Son of God by nature, the eternal Son of God, makes us the sons and daughters of God by grace so that we can have that personal relationship with the Father through Jesus the Son. That idea was scandalous for many of the Jews. I mean, talk about approaching God with this kind of a personal relationship, with this openness. I mean, that's one of the things that the book of Hebrews says that we have as believers in Jesus Christ. We can come boldly to the throne of grace whenever. Why? Because God is our Father. And so, Ryan, although the idea, you know, you have the language of God being the father of his people throughout the Old Testament, it wasn't completely foreign. There was something, I think, unique about how Jesus used this language. And it really shows us that God wants an intimate relationship with each and every one of us, a personal relationship. Do you have that? You can have it through Jesus.
You know, Adriel, there are many Christians who struggle with the idea of God as Father because they had very difficult relationships with their own earthly fathers, or maybe a non-existent relationship. And I'm just wondering, I know you had a strained relationship with your dad growing up. How would you comfort those people?
Yeah, I did. I mean, this was one of the things that was a challenge for me, Bill. I mean, if I'm being honest, it took me a long time to realize that God is a good father. You see, I think it's one thing, you know, many of us have this view of God that he's kind of the angry judge waiting to pounce on us whenever we fail, that he's stingy, that he withholds good things from his children, that he doesn't want to bless us, especially if you're aware of your sin. You know, you just think, oh, you know, you kind of have that Eeyore mentality. Everything bad that happens, I just deserve it. And it makes sense why my life is so miserable, so on and so forth. But we fail to realize that God is a good father. I think again about what Jesus said, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father give the Holy Spirit? In Luke's gospel, he says this, the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. God is eager to shower his blessings upon his children. And I think for many of us who had that strained relationship, who didn't have an example of a good and generous father, it's hard for us to grasp that. And so I point people to those texts of scripture that make it absolutely clear that God is a good father and that he wants to bless his children, namely with his salvation, with his presence, with his spirit. And he's provided everything we need for that. He's given us his very son so that we might have, again, that intimacy, that personal relationship with him.
You're listening to Core Christianity with Pastor Adriel Sanchez. And Adriel, this email came in from John. John says, I thought I was a Christian, but then I got caught up in the lie that I was supposed to be the opposite sex. I went through with a sex change, but now I've realized it was all a lie. Am I an abomination unto God? Can I return to him?
Wow, John. Well, the answer, can I return to him, is yes, absolutely. There's no sin that would keep us from turning to the Lord. God doesn't reject us, doesn't reject you when you go to him. Jesus says this in John 6, he will not cast out anyone who comes to him. And we come to the Lord by faith, no matter what we've done. I mean, weighed down by our sins. And I think that's one of the things that the devil tries to convince us of, is he tries to convince us, look, you've gone too far. God can't love you anymore. He doesn't want you. He wants nothing to do with you. There's no hope for you. And if the devil can convince us of that, then we're lost forever, miserable, because if there's no grace, if there's no forgiveness, then there's no hope. But there is hope. The blood of Jesus Christ is strong enough to cleanse us from all sin. I think about what Paul said to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. He's talking to them and he says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And then he adds this, and such were some of you. But you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Peter, In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19 says, "You were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot." Now, it sounds to me, John, like you're already on the right track, like you're turning to the Lord, or you have turned to the Lord. And I just want to encourage you and say, God doesn't reject you. When you turn to him by faith, Jesus says, I won't cast anyone out. You've turned to him. Now I think you're called to live after him, to follow Jesus. And I think part of that looks like saying, look, I'm not going to continue to live in this identity that I've tried to create for myself. I'm going to be who God actually made me to be. And I think there's a lot of confusion about this today in the world. And John, it sounds to me like you were lied to. And the culture right now is lying to people. It's telling people that we can choose whatever sex we want to be, that sex is something that we just sort of decide. It's not biologically determined, despite the fact that that's what science teaches. It's something that we feel. We can go back and forth. We can change our sex. Well, no. Be who God made you to be and follow him. And I think that's what it looks like right now. As you turn to the Lord, you trust in him, know that you're forgiven, not because your sins weren't grievous. All of our sins are grievous, but because the blood of Jesus Christ is sufficient to wash you of all your sins. And now in that freedom, walk as who God calls you to be and receive God's grace and rest in it.
You're listening to Core Christianity, where we answer your questions about the Bible and the Christian life every day. And we have an amazing team of people behind us producing this show, writing the articles for our website, and producing our core Bible studies. Our prayer is that these resources are helping you and other believers more fully understand the gospel and have the confidence to share your faith. But we can't do this without your support. And that's why we're asking you to prayerfully consider coming alongside us and becoming a regular supporter. With a monthly donation of $25 or more, you can join our inner core. You can be part of the team that makes this show possible as we reach out through the radio airwaves and help people understand the truth of God's word. To learn more, just head over to corechristianity.com/innercore. That's corechristianity.com/innercore. Or you can give us a call anytime at 833-THE-CORE. That's 833-843-2673.
Hey, Bill, and I really think we should take a minute right now just to pray for John. Gracious Father in heaven, we lift our brother John up to you with the weight that he feels, Lord, and the sense of wondering, God, will you accept me? After everything I've done, I pray, God, that he would experience today your love, your mercy, your acceptance through the blood of Jesus Christ, that he would turn away from himself, from his sins, from the things that he's done, and that he would turn to you and cling to your son, Jesus, and in clinging to Jesus, experience your love, your free forgiveness. Would you be with him? Would you give him wisdom? Would you give him the grace of your Holy Spirit to walk by the Spirit so that he wouldn't gratify the desires of the flesh and to live, Lord, in a manner that is pleasing to you? Be with him, Lord. Strengthen him and bless him. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Adriel. Well, let's get to another question that came in from Carson via email. Carson says, I have a question about two parables. Jesus describes himself as the good shepherd who leaves the 99 to find the one sheep who went astray. How does this match with the parable of the prodigal son? Does Jesus seek us out, or do we have to come to him of our own accord?
Hey, that's a great question, Carson. I mean, those are some of my favorite parables in the Gospels, right? Jesus hunting down the lost sheep, or the beautiful picture of the prodigal son, you know, going back, coming to his senses and going back home, and the father running towards him and embracing him and throwing a party when he comes home. I mean, it just really shows us the heart of God for sinners, for us, when we fail, when we fall, and how God welcomes us back into his presence when we turn to him. I mean, just talking to John in the previous question and having that picture there of the father running to us when we come to our senses. I mean, what a beautiful thing that the scriptures reveal to us there. And I think related to your question, Carson, it really is both. I mean, parables give us these wonderful stories that teach us lessons or several different lessons. And I think that here we're just getting this picture of the heart of God for sinners from a couple of different perspectives. I remember when I first came to the Lord, it was in high school, thinking to myself, wow, I'm so happy that I discovered this. I mean, I felt like I had stumbled upon Jesus, you know, kind of like if you were walking down the street and you found a $100 bill and you just think, wow, you know, I'm so lucky that I discovered this. Well, that's kind of how I felt. And I thought to myself, like, boy, how horrible would it have been if I didn't find this out, if I didn't come to my senses and realize I need Jesus. And I remember talking to an older, wiser woman in the faith in the church that I was attending, and she was just smiling as she listened to me talk about, you know, how I had found Jesus. And she said, you know, Adriel, what if it wasn't so much that you stumbled upon Jesus, but what if he was searching for you and he found you? What if he was the one who was drawing you to himself? And it just hit me like a ton of bricks. Wow, God is the one who was really behind the scenes orchestrating all of these things. And really, it caused me to praise the Lord even more because I realized, God, this is all your work. You know, from our perspective, oftentimes we do all the work, right? I mean, I came to my senses. I went back to the Father. But the reality is, Carson, God, by his Spirit, is drawing us to himself, working, moving, doing things, bringing us to himself, opening our hearts, opening our eyes. And I think you have both. You have this sort of human perspective, right? Our perspective where we are turning to the Lord. We are repenting and God calls us to. But then you also have the perspective of heaven where God is chasing us down and he recovers. He picks up his sheep that are wandering away and he brings them back to the fold. And that's what God has done for each one of us. He's pursued us, even though we were sinning against him. It's such a beautiful thing. It's not that we were righteous, that we had discovered this because we were better than others. No. I mean, Paul says in Romans chapter 5 that God demonstrates his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. In other words, when we were running from God, when you didn't want anything to do with the Lord, Jesus still pursued you. He still sought you out. And when we were wandering like lost sheep, he came and picked us up and brought us home. And he gets all the glory. And so, Carson, I think that these two parables, there's no contradiction. And of course, when we're reading parables, you know, they're stories. We need to understand them as such. It's not teaching doctrine in the same way that Paul, for example, in the epistles is teaching doctrine. So we have to be careful that we don't assume that, you know, that these two parables are contradicting because of the way they present the story. I think they're revealing to us the fact that God loves sinners and he brings sinners, he pursues sinners. And when we turn to him, he runs to us and embraces us.
This is Core Christianity with Pastor Adriel Sanchez. And if you have a question for us, the number to call is 833-THE-CORE. That's 1-833-843-2673. By the way, you can also record your question for us by going to corechristianity.com/radio. Look for the little microphone icon there. Click on that and you can record your question right there.
Hello, my name is Grayson. I'm 17 from Texas. So I was reading an act today about Paul and just about how his only purpose is to spread the gospel and like he's not even afraid of death. And it inspires me to spread Jesus everywhere I go. But I find myself almost with like this selfish intention. Like I want to be seen as this superior Christian, almost like how people in the Bible were. And like I want God to be so pleased with what I'm doing. And I want him to see me as not just a regular Christian, but as someone who's like willing to die for him. And so when I sin, I almost get mad at myself because I'm like disappointed. I'm like, now God is going to look at me as just a regular Christian like everybody else. And I just started like crying in my car because I realized how selfish that is. I need to keep thinking about this. I hope you know how helpful you are to Christians all around the world who listen to your show.
Yeah, it sounds to me, Grayson, like you were reading Acts chapter 20. And I read that section of scripture where Paul is speaking to the Ephesian elders. it just grips me as well. He says, "You yourselves know how I lived among you the whole time, from the first day that I set foot in Asia, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and with trials that happened to me through the plots of the Jews, how I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable, in teaching you in public and from house to house, testifying both to Jews and to Greeks of repentance toward God and of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I am going to Jerusalem constrained by the Spirit, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me that in every city that imprisonment and afflictions await me. But I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus, to testify to the gospel of the grace of God." Grayson, I read those words and they bring tears to my eyes too. You think about the passion that the Apostle Paul had, and it makes sense. I mean, here was a guy who was running from the Lord. We're talking about this in the previous question. Wanted nothing to do with Jesus, and Jesus knocked him off of his horse and revealed to him that he was lost, that he needed grace, that he needed to repent. And he transformed his life, and Paul was so transformed that now everything he did was geared toward getting that gospel out. And it sounds like you want that for yourself. I want that for myself too. But you're conflicted by the fact that we still struggle. We still sin. Well, you know what? The same Paul who spoke there to the Ephesian elders in Acts chapter 20 could also talk about the battle with the flesh that he experienced in places like Romans chapter 7 or in Galatians chapter 5. In Romans chapter 7, listen to what he says. Romans chapter 7, verse 18, "For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do want is what I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me." And I think a parallel passage in Galatians chapter 5, a text I just recently preached on, he says to the Galatians in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, "I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do." The same struggle that you feel is the struggle that Paul had. And don't beat yourself up, brother. The Lord sees your desire to serve him. And the fact of the matter is everything that we do, brother, this side of heaven, right? It's not going to be perfect. Even when we do good in service to the Lord, there's still that temptation to think, I wonder, was anybody seeing that? That's just a part of the sinful struggle that we still experience and are going to experience this side of heaven. But you know what? You can still offer yourself to the Lord as a living sacrifice every day, even though the good works that we bring before God are tainted with sin still, you can still offer yourself to the Lord because you can come to the Lord through Jesus Christ. There's this quote by Charles Spurgeon in a sermon that he preached that has always stuck with me, these words that he said. He says that the Christian sometimes has to pray to God to forgive his prayers, because he feels that there is sin, even in his best offerings, that he has to sprinkle the atoning blood on everything that he does. And that's true. I think when we look at our lives and we want to follow the Lord, but we wrestle because we know, God, we fall short of loving you like we should. This is how we know we're not saved by the law. Nobody could be justified by their own obedience. We're justified by faith in Jesus. You're justified by faith in Jesus. And God receives you, brother. And he loves you, and he will use you for his service.
Thanks for listening to Core Christianity. To request your copy of today's special offer, visit us at corechristianity.com and click on Offers in the menu bar, or call us at 1-833-843-2673. That's 833-THE-CORE. When you contact us, please let us know how you've been encouraged by this podcast. and be sure to join us next time as we explore the truth of God's Word together.